Hey, dudes, we have tickets to give away to see Collective Soul and Live performing together and tickets for Amy. Would you like to tell everybody?
Guys, remember how I gave you the hint to Capitol Fourth? Well, we're giving away tickets to see the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the Beach Boys. Yeah. You know who else gets around? You got to be listening for your chance to win, by the way. We're not doing it right now, so calm down.
That's Ronji's theme song.
We're talking about, everybody calm down. We're talking about Dave Simons, partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. A lot happening. Stocks dropping. Investors freaking out, or maybe not. We'll talk to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Amy.
Hello, Dave.
You know, I do have to interject one thing. You were talking about the Beach Boys. It reminded me, they kind of had a little bit of a resurrection in the late 80s. And I remember thinking at the time, I was probably in my late 20s, and I'm thinking, how sad is that? How old are they in the late 80s?
Yeah.
I mean, 35, 40 years ago. And here I am, just 2 weeks ago, I went to Champaign, Illinois to go see an REO Speedwagon concert with guys in their 70s.
I love it. So, I love me some REO Speedwagon, like any good St. Louisan should. I heard they have like a one city tour, and it's just like the St. Louis area.
It was Champaign, Illinois. That was it.
That was their tour.
That was it. It was kind of a farewell last show. So I thought, longtime fan from the 70s, I got to go see it.
That's awesome. And to his and to Dave's point about the Beach Boys, I felt that way. I remember, like, in the 90s when they said the Rolling Stones, this is their farewell tour.
Yes.
They'll never tour again.
So I think last time we spoke, I think it was last week, when you said that the economy is doing remarkably well, considering, you know, all of this craziness and chaos that has happened.
Yeah.
But for investors, is it possible there's a bit of a bubble here? Or how should we look at it?
It's a fair question, Chris, because it's something that I've been looking at, started really over the weekend. And I wouldn't say it's a bubble, but, you know, it's gotten a little ahead of itself. And I'm a contrarian, which means when an opinion is the majority, and by a lot. So you have the mom and pop investors, your professional investors, all believing that the market is going to behave in a certain way. That makes me nervous. Or sometimes if everyone is really fearful, then I get a little excited and I go to the other side of the boat. So there is something called the CNN Fear and Greed Index. And on April 4th, one is extreme fear, like hide the women and children and put the cash under the mattress because this thing's crashing. That's one fear. And 100 is mortgage the house and go all in and buy every stock that you can. And so on April 4th, the fear and greed index was a 4. That historically is as low as I've ever seen that thing. And that's back when we first had Liberation Day and the markets were creating and all that. Okay. Fast forward to July 4th, late last week, it was in the extreme greed category, and it was approaching 80. I have never seen a three-month swing like that dramatic. That could be a record. So it's incredible, this roller coaster ride that we're on, not just the market, but investor emotions have gone from despair to euphoria. I think it was overdone. The market went up and hit all-time highs. I'm not saying that we're going to crash, of course. I don't think this is a bubble, but I think it's time that we maybe cool our jets a little bit, and I could see maybe the market settling down here.
You know, Dave, it's funny because we know the market's like, it's fickle. It's volatile. It changes. And so don't panic, right? Like you said, like don't panic and like, oh, I got to buy or I got to sell. I sometimes picture you like sitting in a corner with like a cigar, sitting in some chair going, none of this matters. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. So my question is,
do I really speak French?
Are you ripping my Jacques Pepin
impersonation? It's a little Jacques Pepin.
Because that's how he makes food. He's like 4, 5, 10 minutes.
It doesn't matter.
I think it's great.
So with the market going up and down and everyone is, you know, like, don't do anything. What is a circumstance where you would do something? Because it feels like, in general, the wise thing is just to hold tight.
Well, it is, but we are all humans, and there's the twin evil emotions of fear and greed. And there have been all kinds of psychological studies that have shown fear is 2 to 1, a powerful emotion versus greed. Hmm. So it's almost like when the markets go up, that's an expectation. You expect that. It's like, well, why do you think I invest in the market? Of course, I'm supposed to make money. But when you lose and the market's going down, and then a lot of your doomsayers out there, the doom and gloom crowd that is trying to sell you something, their latest book or video or whatever, and they scare the living daylights out of you, that has a major impact on an investor's psyche, because for some reason, we think that that's never going to come back up. And Amy, here's what you have to get right. You can maybe pick near the top and say, holy cow, this market's gone way too high, way too fast. We're at record highs. I'm concerned. I'm going to pull out, or I'm going to take a big chunk and I'm going to the sidelines. And sure enough, the market starts to go down. You're like, whoa, I'm good. I timed it perfectly. But you're not done. You have to know when to get back in. And to successfully do this round trip investing cycle is next to impossible. And you can maybe get it once, right once, but to do it consistently, it cannot be done. So that's why the Warren Buffetts and all the great investors of all time, they don't try it either. They stick with good, solid companies. With that said, you can still change things, what I call on the margins. If you say, well, all this tariff stuff, a little concerned about that industry or this company, and I'm a little overweighted there. So you know what? I'm going to take a little off the table here, and I'm going to put it over here. But you should never really do drastic changes to your overall allocation, as long as your risk tolerance and your lifetime goals are the same.
So it seems like this is a bit of a playground for some people. Not everybody has the ability to just play around with money. There are a lot that do, however. If you're, let's say you don't have the means to just kind of, I'll move this thing here and move this here and go somewhere. Like, if you don't have that, if you're on the lower end of investing, how would you suggest somebody like that operate right now?
You know, another great question, because that is a big chunk of American society saying, well, it's nice that people who have the financial wherewithal, who can participate in the success of the financial markets, but I don't have that. And I totally get that. I understand that. However, there really is no such thing. When I got into this business more than 30 years ago, you couldn't just like invest $10 or $50. You had to go to a stockbroker who was going to charge you a huge amount of a commission. And you had to have at least probably a few thousand dollars to get started. There was no online or anything like that. Well, the democracy of investing now has really allowed everybody, even in small incremental amounts, to invest. You can open up an account, whether it's a Vanguard or a Fidelity or a Schwab or something like that, online, and pay almost nothing in commission and literally take $50 or $100. And I know that sounds silly. It's a small amount. It's not. Especially if you start young, and all these studies will show, you know, by the time you get in your 60s, it is possible to have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not seven figures, if you start early and start with something. And you will start to accumulate more money later in life. You'll get into your peak earning years and you'll put more money away. And last thing I'll say about this is something that I always remind people, especially younger investors. This is a back-end loaded game. You do not see these huge dollar amounts that start to grow. And by the time you're 32, go, whoa, I started with $10 and I have $940,000. Not sure how that started or even happened. Of course, that doesn't happen. It's just slow, 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 slow. You don't see it. You might get frustrated. And then all of a sudden, you're going to wake up one day and you're 50 some years old or you're 60 years old. I don't know how I did it. I never made a lot of money, but look how much I amassed because I played the long game. It does happen. I've seen it over and over in my career.
All right, Dave Simons, we appreciate you as always. Let's talk again on Tuesday of next week. What do you say?
I will be here, and you guys have a great rest of your week.
Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, with us here on KMOX. He joins us at 10 o'clock every Tuesday.
And Ronj, when we come back, it's your favorite person in the news.
Oh, no.
Sheriff Alfred Montgomery is in the headlines again.
Is the SOS campaign revived?
I think it's ongoing. I think it never died.
Well, hot damn.
Save
Chris
our
and
sheriff
Amy
campaign.
On KMOX.
As you all know, Chris Ronji wants to save our sheriff. That would be St. Louis City Sheriff Alfred Montgomery, who technically has zero law enforcement powers. At any rate, just weeks after taking office in January.
That's not true, according to the story.
Sheriff Montgomery showed up at a city police headquarters for a meeting. It was unclear why. This is in the Post-Dispatch story. At any rate, it was a high-level confidential meeting for top police officials and discuss crime-fighting strategy. Now, Sheriff Montgomery showed up to this meeting. Everyone's looking around saying, why is the sheriff here? Montgomery, the sheriff, told police that City Hall had invited him to that meeting. Remember Connor Kerrigan?
Yeah.
Mayor Tashara Jones's former communications director? The Sheriff Montgomery said, well, City Hall invited me. Connor Kerrigan said, and we were like, of course not. Connor Kerrigan said, no, we did not invite them. So it was a meeting where sensitive issues are discussed. And because Sheriff Montgomery has no law enforcement powers, he was asked to leave. And he did leave.
I think he's been mistreated this entire time.
Well,
you are an officer of the law.
He's
and one
an
of the
escort.
More important ones.
Not like an escort.
Well, you're still, that's still law enforcement, is it not?
It would not, and according
this man,
to his title.
And this man.
Yeah.
Is just trying to stay on top of what's going on in St. Louis law enforcement. Uh-huh. He's trying to come to a meeting. He wants to be kept abreast of everything.
Yeah.
And I think he's been mistreated.
Well, even though he has no duties to no power to arrest anyone.
Yeah.
He proclaimed himself the city's top law enforcer.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
Does he have cuffs on his belt?
Well, it seems he does.
If he has cuffs on his belt, he does, in fact, have the power to put them
but
on you.
What if he bought them himself?
Hold on. First of all, if you're a member of law enforcement, please text us at 314-436-7900. Are cuffs standard issue? Do they just give you a pair of cuffs, or do you have to buy your own?
Because No. Police officers, I think.
I know. So I don't know if they get them. I think they might have to pay for them, because they have to pay for their own uniforms.
Do they? That doesn't seem right.
Well, if you buy, you might get I don't know, it could be different in some places, but you have to go to the official uniform store.
Yeah.
Because not everybody can just buy a police uniform, but if you want more sets, you have to buy your own,
See,
I think.
That's surprising. That seems like something our company would do, but not the police. The police should get...
And it might be different.
That should be part of the job.
It might be different... In different locations, but I'm pretty sure that's common.
And anyway, he doesn't have the right to interview inmates, and he tried to do that. And when the city jail director or official, a jail official, tried to stop him, he handcuffed her and detained her, which he definitely doesn't have the power to do.
What?
Now, in his career, he tried a couple times to become the sheriff. He grew up in... the Carr neighborhood in North City, where there's a lot of, he said they grew up around, politicians, people who would run for the Board of Aldermen, people who were in law enforcement. So he was used to that, and he did start running his own campaigns. But in each campaign, when he would lose, he made new claims. Randomly, in one campaign, he said he was a licensed funeral director. He said he interned at the city police department. He told the Post-Dispatch he had a sociology degree from Arizona State University. In a LinkedIn post, he said he had an associate's degree focused on political science and government from Lincoln University in Jefferson City. But the State Board of Embalmers and Funeral Directors had no record of him holding a license, active or inactive. The police department said it had no record of him interning, and officials at Lincoln University said they had no record of him receiving a degree. Arizona State said it had no record of him even attending. Moreover, the LinkedIn profile under Montgomery's name, he defended himself. He said, well, it may not be even controlled by Sheriff Montgomery. And his spokesman said it should not be used as a definitive biographical source. However, hours after the email, the degree claims were removed from the profile. This guy's a habitual liar.
No, I think he's well-rounded. What I'm getting, what I'm getting is somebody who has he has his hands in a lot of things, so he can do a lot. Yeah. He's capable of a lot. You know, he can embalm a body.
Uh-huh.
He can arrest you if he wants.
Well, what's funny
he
is
all kinds of great
now
stuff.
His defense. Now
Why would we not want? We want talent like this working for the city.
Now his defense, when reporters said, "Hey, there's no record of you being a licensed funeral director," he goes, "Well, you don't even need that to be sheriff." He's the one that brought it up. It was his thing. So the sheriff also said he has a certificate from his police internship, although they did not respond to multiple requests to see it. Also, now this isn't, you remember Attorney General Andrew Bailey has his lawsuit against the sheriff? That actually starts tomorrow. That case starts tomorrow. But the lawsuit also points out that on his first day of office, Montgomery violated the state's constitution ban on nepotism and hired his half-brother and then directed people to hide the fact. Like he said, I'm hiring my half-brother, but don't tell anybody. That's what he told people in his office.
This sounds to me like...
This guy's insane.
It sounds... Well, no, I don't think he's crazy. I think he's just... I think this is all fake news, honestly. I think a lot of people are just trying to...
The mainstream media is out
down.
To get him?
No, yeah. I mean, he said it. He said that the mainstream media is trying to keep him down, and I think there's truth to it. That's why I'm here, to save his job.
Is it because you...
I don't want
is
him.
Is it because you represent him?
That's been fixed.
Has it?
And yes, the sign on the door at the sheriff's office no longer says represent.
It said it honor, has been, integrity... Repsect.
Well, now it says respect.
Okay.
So it's been changed. It's been fixed, which to me shows that he's able to fix a problem. He identifies a problem and it gets rectified. Why would we not want somebody like that to be our sheriff?
You don't even know what the sheriff is supposed to do.
He says, Sheriff Montgomery, I will not stand by while this office is attacked in the press with false claims and reckless accusations. That's what he said. And you know, I stand right beside him. Put me, I'll be at the next press conference.
Oh.
He goes on to say, let's be very clear. I have not been found guilty of any wrongdoing. That is true. There's no evidence that he has done anything wrong. It's just hearsay and conjecture.
I feel like it's nothing but evidence.
He says, I will not be removed from this office, not if there's anything, not if I could do anything about it. Sheriff Montgomery, I am on your side.
Well,
actually, I'm changing it because I don't think anybody else wants to be in on this with me. It is now SMS, save my sheriff.
Yes, I like
Screw
SMS.
Screw all of you people.
Yes. I think that's a much better campaign.
SMS?
Because I do not represent him at all.
Well, I do. And I think we need more people like him in the city. So kudos to you.
I do like the idea of transporting criminals via golf cart. It adds an element of thrill and escape.
I would like a ride in that Tahoe. I wonder if he'll pick me up from my home and bring me to work every day. I would love that. Even in the golf cart, I don't care. One of them. Robert is watching us on YouTube and says Montgomery Santos 2028.
Yes!
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 Sheriff Montgomery. What the hell happened? Sheriff Montgomery.
Music running out of time. Oh.
Our song's only 30 seconds these days.
You can't help him.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some Cardinals. Rob Raines joins the show. He covers the Cardinals for STLSportsPage.com, and he's next on KMOX. Cardinals open up a series tonight at Busch Stadium. They will be taking on the Washington Nationals. We have the game at 6:45. Pre-game show is at 5:50. Again, it is the first of three at Busch, and it is time to go to the guest line this morning. And we welcome in Cardinals writer and creator of STLSportsPage.com, Rob Raines, also a Missouri Sports Hall of Famer. And Rob joins us on the show. How's it going, Rob?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing okay. So let's talk about where the Cardinals are right now, other than St. Louis. We know that going into the series at Wrigley Field, you know, they just took care mm-hmm. of Cleveland pretty easily. Then you're hoping, all right, let's have a good showing at Wrigley. They didn't get swept, so that's good. But they have put some distance, so the Cubs have put some distance between themselves and the Cardinals. So you just sort of look at where they are right now, and how are you feeling about a team that still is within striking distance of a wild card?
Is it fair to say I don't know?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's,
yes.
You know, like that's part of the problem right now. I mean, you know, you see signs, like you mentioned, the Cleveland series was very good. Then they get shut out in Pittsburgh. And then they have two, you know, really bad games in Chicago and, you know, get saved by the Pozo home run in the other game. So, you know, I don't think if you're a Cardinal fan, you're feeling real great about where this team is right now. You know, yes, mathematically, they're, you know, alive in the race, but you've also got a lot of other teams that are alive in the race, too. And I think not to say that I want to speak for Cardinal fans, but, speaking as a Cardinal fan, I think you're just kind of waiting to see what happens between now and the trade deadline. I mean, I think you're going to get a read on what to expect for the rest of the season based on either the moves this team makes or doesn't make at the deadline, July 31st. And I think it's hard for them to know right now what they're going to do. Because I think what happens here the next, 3 weeks is going to really dictate the direction the club's going to go.
Rob, I was listening to the Gas House Gang yesterday, I think it was. And
at 12 o'clock?
At 12 o'clock.
Here on KMOX?
On KMOX, Odyssey app. And
Ollie Marmel's on today at 12.
He
just
is.
So you know.
For half an hour.
Yep.
And he sees your comments.
That's
right. At any rate, it was either that or the afternoon. I was listening to Bernie Miklas. And mm-hmm. I bring up Bernie's name because this was his question that he had. I think he wants to ask Ollie Marmel today about this. But when you look at the struggles the Cardinals have had with their starters, I mean, mm-hmm. Fetty is struggling. Miles Michaelis is struggling. And his question was, why haven't we seen more creativity from the Cardinals to try something different when these guys are going out and they're struggling? And he said, you know, you look at the Tigers, you look at the Dodgers, they have an opener before their starter, or maybe you look at McGreevy and said, okay, there is a spot for you now. Do you feel mm-hmm. that there's a little bit like, hey, there could be, the Cardinals could maybe be doing something else to switch things up right now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, patience is a weird thing in baseball because you want it when it works for you and you hate it when you don't want it. So, you know, and I think your veterans, you always give the edge of, doubt or whatever to a veteran pitcher, and you think he's going to get it turned around. He's one start away from, going on a run. And you've seen both of those guys who have pitched well in the past, but unfortunately they're not pitching well right now. And I think that's the fans' frustration. If you look at, how Sonny Gray has pitched, you look how Liberatore has pitched, you look how Belante has pitched, you feel like if you could just fill in those other two spots in that rotation with better performances, you'd be, feel a lot better about, the direction this team is going in right now. So I think that's something that they are going to have to address. It seemed like I always said that after the start on Sunday night in Chicago, that we're going to reassess things during the day off yesterday. So we'll see, once he says on the show or once he says anything at the ballpark today about any changes that they, kind of have planned here for the next week or so. Because you also hit the All-Star break and then you got, 5 days off, 4 days off, so you can kind of reassess things and reset things at that point, too.
If you have to make a guess, and it's, the likely candidates to be moved in some way are Michaelis and Fetty, and I mean moved out of the rotation, I don't know if they do it with both of them. Can they? I mean, is there even, could they make it work to move them both out and replace them with McGreevy and or Steven Matz or Matz, somebody like that?
Yeah, Matz would be the other guy. But unfortunately now he's been such in a bullpen role for so long, he'd have to build back up to be a starter. And they really like how he's pitched out of the bullpen. So, yeah, I don't think they make a move with both those guys. I think you do one. And it's probably Fetty is the one that you'll do because he has the less, shorter track record here in history with the team and stuff. And, both those guys are going to be free agents at the end of the year. But, so I think it's probably the easier move to make would be to put Fetty in the bullpen and bring up McGreevy, and that very well could be what they do. I think the next start that Fetty is supposed to have is on Saturday, so we should know the answer to that decision here pretty soon.
So, over the course of about a week and a half, the Cardinals have been shut out 6 times, and that is not mm-hmm. something that happened really early in the year, and they certainly weren't playing games where they were just getting blown out. but that is starting to happen more over the last couple of weeks. Is this a trend or a fluke?
Right now, I would think it's a fluke because of the injury situation. You don't have Ivan Herrera in the lineup. You haven't had Nolan Arenado on a consistent basis, and even when he's played, he hasn't played like we expect him to play because of a couple injuries that he's been dealing with. So Contreras has been in and out of the lineup because of the hit by pitch thing. So I think there's just a lack of consistency with the guys in the lineup. Walker's still trying to figure it out on his rehab assignment in Springfield right now. So they've got a lot of missing pieces that you kind of were hoping would be the key cores in that lineup when the season began, and did play better early on. So I think they're just kind of in a waiting pattern right now until they get some of those guys back.
Talking with Rob Raines from STLSportsPage.com. He is the creator of that website covering the Cardinals. And we got the news about J.J. Weatherholt being promoted. And, of course, if you're a Cardinals fan and things aren't going well, the first thing you do is you look to the minors and go, all right, let's get these guys up here and help. Let's get somebody new, fresh blood, whatever it is. How likely do you think it is we see him sometime soon in a big league uniform?
I think it would depend on the opportunity. I think he's primarily played shortstop. He has played some at second base. I suspect he's probably going to play a little bit more second base in the in Memphis when he starts there tonight. But his primary position has been shortstop, and they just want to get him at bats more than anything else and feel comfortable. So I think if there were a long-term injury to Mason Winn or something like that, you'd have a chance to move him up here. But also, he doesn't have to be protected on the 40-man roster. And I know most fans don't like to hear all the business sides of things, but it does play a role in moving and things that the team makes. So you'd be taking up a roster spot if you bring him up here and put him on the 40-man. Now, if you think he's going to be, you're starting shortstop, that's one thing. But if he's just going to be a part-time player and you want to get a look at him, I don't think they're going to do that. So I think it would have to be an opportunity for him to come up here and play on a fairly consistent basis before they would make that move. But he's definitely on the fast track. I mean, he will be here sooner rather than later. And, the interesting thing to me about, talking about this week, talking about JJ is, we're just a year away from the him getting drafted by the Cardinals. I think he's the first player to get to AAA within a year of being drafted since Michael Walker on this team. So, that's really a fast track. And the Cardinals have even a pick higher than JJ's pick, overall in the first round of the draft on Sunday night, the fifth overall pick. You could make a case that that's going to be one of the most important things that happens to this team this season, because they don't get this opportunity to pick that high in the draft very often. It's the first time in franchise history that they've gone back-to-back picks within the top 10 ever. So, and they won't be there again next year because they can't be in the lottery again because they can't do it more than 2 years in a row. So it's a very valuable pick, and they're going to, they need to nail this big time.
As you can imagine, people are just, they want something different. And so, on the Gas House Gang, when we do that show or any other sports shows here, there's always somebody wanting John Mozeliak out of the way and letting Heimblum take over. We know there's going to be a transition here. I mean, Mozeliak is on his way out. But how involved is Bloom really right now, even though he's not in charge? But there's a period where they're going to have to transition from Mozeliak to him.
I do think they talk. I mean, I'm not certainly privy to those discussions, so how often they talk and what they talk about, I don't know. But I think I'm still at the moment is focusing on the player development system, watching games in the minor league level. I know he also watches the big league level as well, and making his own evaluations and talking to people and getting a consensus of things. And he's going to be able to be fully up to speed when he takes over, which is kind of the whole point of this transition, is it not coming in from cold and having to learn the whole system while he's on the job. I think it's awkward as it is. I think it's going to be beneficial to him when he takes over at the end of the season. But Mo is definitely still in charge. I mean, Mo is still the guy calling the shots, and how much he wants to involve the other people in his decision-making, it's up to him.
And based on where the Cardinals are right now, what they've done this season, what is your evaluation of the job that Ollie Marmol's done?
I think he's done a fine job. I mean, he was kind of faced into a tough situation, this year, with saying he wanted to give these kids an opportunity to play. And, the goal of every manager is to win every game possible that they can win. And sometimes you have to kind of balance those two. And I think that's a very tough act to handle. So I think he's done a good job of that as far as, giving those kids the opportunity. I mean, now, sometimes you early on, Gorman wasn't getting the number of at-bats we kind of maybe all thought he would get this year, and things, didn't kind of pan out the way that you thought they would with Jordan Walker, but, he certainly got a lot of playing time. So I think by and large, the position players have done a good job of getting that opportunity. I my personal opinion preference would have been to give the younger pitchers that same opportunity. I'd rather have seen Graceffo and McGreevy and some of those guys up here on a little bit more consistent basis and given them a little bit better look than they've done to this point. But that's the decision that the organization made, was to stick with the veteran pitchers.
Appreciate the conversation as always, Rob Raines. Thank you for talking with us again today.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Rob Raines, creator of STLSportsPage.com and Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, joining us on the show. You know, I also happen to have Jack Buck, That's a Winner, the book from the 90s. Rob helped Jack write that.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a good book. I have it signed.
Do you?
By Mr. Buck.
Did you get that signed when you were an intern?
Nope. I went to St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights when he was doing a book signing, and I got it done there.
That's adorable.
Uh-huh.
How was that shortly after your Tito Landrum?
No. I was in college by the time that
okay.
happened. The Tito Landrum thing, I was very, very young.
He got a poster
of
Tito Landrum autographed by Tito himself.
In Granite City. He came to the strip mall.
It was a kid's poster for kids, right?
Well, it was a poster for whoever came to get the autograph.
Oh, I thought it was for kids. At any rate, Tito didn't have a shirt on.
In the poster, he had a shirt on at the sighting, yes. And I am so upset. I do not know where this poster is. I think I know what happened to it.
Why would a baseball player not wear his jersey in a picture?
It was like the headshot, but it wasn't a headshot. It was like a...
His torso?
Yeah, because he had his baseball pants on
uh-huh.
and no shirt, and he was holding a baseball bat.
I don't think I've ever seen a baseball player in just his baseball pants and no shirt. That's not a look they wear a lot.
Well, in the 80s, everything was different.
Everything was sexier in the 80s.
We still have tickets to give away to see the Beach Boys. Got to be listening for your chance to win. We are glad you're with us. Also, Gail Blomenkamp, Assistant Fire Chief of the Boone County Fire Protection District. They are sending a unit to Texas to help out with the flood, which has been absolutely devastating. So that interview is coming up at 11 o'clock. Glad you're with us today on 104.1 FM KMOX. Oasis is back, baby.
Oasis.
I wish we were giving away Oasis tickets for Soldier Field so that I could steal them and go.
Can I tell you something really quickly that will make you super mad?
No.
When I was like 9, I had a friend, and she said her brother, they were like starting a band. Now, I was 9, so I didn't know anything. And she said, yeah, they're starting a band, and they have their own band. It's called Poasis. And I was like, Poasis? I go, isn't there a band like that? She said, no, that's Oasis. This is different. This is Poasis.
What?
That's the end of the story, and it makes me mad when I think about it.
Well, first of all, I'm mad that you told me. Secondly, was it real? Was Poasis?
Her brother, she just said, I mean, it was probably, in my mind, her brother was a 40-year-old man. He was probably 13 years old. Nine, how the older brothers are scary. They look so much older. He may as well have been 40. I bet he was 13 or 14 years old.
The only way that works is if they were turning Edgar Allan poems into music.
That's a great... I didn't even think
so
of that.
It could be Poasis. That would be clever as hell. Otherwise, it sounds stupid.
I mean, it could have been that. I feel like it's not. But I've been mad about Poasis since I was 9. Because I also trusted her. And I was like, wait, I thought there was a band. If 9-year-old me heard of Oasis, you can imagine how confused I was by Poasis.
Congratulations to Rick from Belleville, who won those tickets to see Collective Soul and Alive at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Or Live. We don't know.
No, it's Alive. Yeah. We do know. Yes, we do. We know. You asked this question yesterday. We know for a fact it's Alive. They're playing July 17th, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. But we still have those Beach Boys tickets that we will give away.
Heck yeah, we do. Do we want to do it now?
No.
Oh, okay. Not now.
But don't worry about like all of these tickets that we're giving away. We're going to give away tickets every day for the rest of the week. Jack Dorsey,
mm-hmm.
who is the ex-co-founder, I guess, co-founder, CEO of Twitter.
Twitter.
And now is the CEO of Block. He has launched a new messaging app because
mm-hmm.
we need a new way to communicate.
Yeah.
We don't have enough.
Uh-huh.
It is called BitChat, but it is spelled BitChat. Anyway,
like
where is the BitChat? It is on the Google Play Store probably soon.
He's got to be doing this as a joke.
I don't know if it is, but here is the
type of thing that Elon Musk would name it BitChat. chat.
Bits chat, but it's one word.
It's so dumb.
So here is the idea.
Juvenile.
You can message somebody over Bluetooth. It doesn't have to be over wireless or cell service. It's just Bluetooth, which means,
give it, this is it. This is the crux.
If you have used Bluetooth for anything, you know that you have to be close to the thing you're connected to. So you could just talk to the person next to you. But now you can send them a message over Bluetooth with this app, BitChat.
don't say it.
That's the way. Take who from where to do what?
Yes. See, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be a huge success, though.
No, it won't. And I think it's juvenile. He knew what he was doing when he named it BitChat. Also, yeah, I guess like if you're super paranoid, but I mean, we've all talked about someone in the room while they're in the room by texting someone else.
Yeah.
Why can't I just keep doing that?
Why
can't you just, in case you don't have, when are you in a situation where Bluetooth is your only option to communicate with someone in the room right there? I mean, proximity right there.
Look, I understand the tech mindset of always trying to innovate, blah, 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 whatever. I get it. But we don't need to fix everything.
We don't need a solution for something.
There isn't a problem here. But that's what this feels like. And I wish him the best of luck to St. Louis and Jack Dorsey.
100% Elon Musk would name it this. That's what irritates me about it.
I just don't. It's not something that we need.
No, it's not.
I don't know that it enhances anything.
Someone did say it's for the paranoid communicator, and I could see Jack Dorsey being paranoid. I mean, you're in the tech world.
Yeah, I guess you can't. Can you steal a message over Bluetooth?
I think you can. I thought it was not secure.
Okay, well, I don't have the answer for that. But this just seems like a thing that we don't need.
Yes.
And I know a lot of technological advances, we don't necessarily need them, but they provide some value. I'm not sure what value this is going to provide. But, again, good luck to our guy. Oh, boy. Hey, so we have been talking about the Texas floods. 108 people have died. They are still looking for more than 20 people. They don't know where they are. And there are people around the country who are going to help. The assistant fire chief of the Boone County Fire Protection District here in Missouri, Gail Blomenkamp, is part of a unit that is helping in Texas. And we're going to talk to Gail when we come back on KMOX.